The following is a special presentation of Tony Curry Radio. Want the real story behind the sound bites and headlines? Let's find the facts. Remember, it's not a conspiracy theory if it's the truth. You are not paranoid or confused. You just need to know.
It's Kip Kiefer, everybody. Time for Need to Know for this week. A brand new week here coming up on the end of February already. Can that be possible? It seems like we just had the New Year's and the college football playoff and all of the political calamity that goes on every single day. The headlines are dizzying. I did some local radio last week filling in for Leland Whaley, and I compared it to an experience that I had way back in my younger days, not very younger days. I was probably, because it involved my younger son, but I was talking about how headlines now hit you 3, 4, 5 a day, and it's just dizzying. And I compared it to an unfortunate time with my younger son when he was in his teenage years, really into his roller coaster era, of wanting to go and ride every major coaster from coast to coast, and tried to accommodate that and be a super dad that I was. I remember we were at Six Flags Mid-America, which is just outside of St. Louis, and we had ridden a couple of the big roller coasters, and there was a seemingly, you know, and I'd been on this a similar ride before, but I know you, most of you listening will probably remember this thing, and maybe they still have them. I don't know. I haven't been to an amusement park in a number of years, but it was that thing that you got on. It was like a metal floor, and it was a cylinder, like a round deal that you carpeted walls, and you kind of leaned up. You could just stood there with your back against the wall is how it started. And the thing would crank up and would start spinning around in a circle, and it would tilt up a little bit. And as it got going faster and faster, the floor would just drop out of the thing. And you were literally clinging with your shoulder blades, your arms, everything. The gravity would just pull you to the wall, and you couldn't really move. You could lift your arm if you took your other hand and like pulled it away from the wall. It's a really weird thing. Whatever happened on this particular day at Six Flags Mid-America, this thing got to spinning at maximum capacity. And when I'd been on a ride like this before, it was like maybe a minute or two, and then all of a sudden they start slowing it down. The floor comes back, a ride's over. I don't know if this guy went off to smoke one or went to the concession stand to get a hot dog, or just dozed off at the control panel. But we spun and we spun and we spun, and he hung on the wall. And this thing went on for 10, 12, 14 minutes. Maybe it was only 8 or 9, but it seemed like 10, 12, 14 hours to me, because I had never had a reaction like that. And again, I was riding every major roller coaster with my son, and a lot of those are pretty thrilling and pretty dramatic and tense. Some of the hills and curves, and the one in Orlando at Universal that reaches the top of its peak, and then it goes downhill. It goes in reverse as fast as it went forward. That was a weird sensation. But on this goofy ride that day, my head was literally pounding. I don't know if it had gone on another 4 or 5 minutes. I don't know if I'd be talking to you right now, because it was a sensation I've never had, and thankfully never had since. And finally, maybe it was just a slow day and the guy was giving us a bonus time, but finally it started to slow down, and I staggered off of there and I had to go sit down. I keep trying to think what year this would have been, because he would have been a teenager. So this was in the 2000s. So this was not 100 years ago. So I was probably in my 40s, but man, and that's the sensation I get now from listening to the headlines and what's going on in the world. It's just dizzying, and I wish somebody would put the floor back in and slow this damn thing down, because every day there's something new. And so I thought a fun theme today for the program would be to talk about words have meaning. And there's been a lot of kind of one-liners and things that are said this week that I listened to the quotes from the various people that gave them, and it gave me a different connotation than what they were trying to express, if that makes any sense. And in some cases, it really veiled, and maybe they did it unconsciously or whatever, semi-conscious, whatever the meaning of the words were. But there's some things that profoundly caused me to think about different aspects of what they just said. And I thought you might find it interesting if I recount a couple of those. One of them, surprisingly, after all the things she said in the last couple of years that have made no sense, that have been absent of any logic whatsoever, that are a lot of pundits are describing as word salads, our esteemed vice president, the laughing hyena Kamala Harris, who, when she gets nervous, is one of those people that breaks out into this, just ridiculous, like jackal, like laughter. But anyway, she's not said one cogent thing the entire time she's been vice president, pretty much. She goes off on all these different tangents and doesn't make any sense. But she said something highly profound last week when she was talking about the Robert Hur report, which, of course, was the special counsel appointed by Merrick Garland, the attorney general who was formerly a Barack Obama nominee for the Supreme Court. They never heard the Senate never called his name because it was in a lame duck part of Obama's presidency. The election was coming up, and Merrick Garland never got his hearing. So when he was named attorney general after being spurned from the Supreme Court, this guy, he didn't have any kind of chip on his shoulder. This guy is straight down the middle. Yeah, right. This guy is partisan. This guy is following orders from the powers that be. And the suggestion that Robert Hur was appointed for some kind of counter Joe Biden ruling in his special investigation of his mishandling of federal top secret and classified documents is absurd. So Kamala Harris last week, in excoriating the Robert Hur report, said it was egregious and it was gratuitous and it was just totally inaccurate and wrong that Joe Biden is mentally incapacitated, that Joe Biden has problems articulating, that Joe Biden is in serious cognitive decline. She said it couldn't be further from the truth. I work with him, I know. And she said, and obviously, and here's the line that got me, all of this report is politically motivated. Now, think about that for a minute. So the implication from Kamala Harris is Robert Hur, the special counsel appointed by Merrick Garland, who is as left can be and is a loyal soldier to that administration. But you know what? For the first time in her vice presidency, Kamala Harris was absolutely right. Because Robert Hur was politically motivated in those comments, and it was included in that report on purpose, but it was not at the behest of any Republican or any Donald Trump person or any MAGA extremist, as they like to characterize anybody, or all of us brainwashed white supremacist cult members, which I guess because I certainly support Trump for president over Joe Biden, I would support you, me, the guy next door, the guy across the street, the first person I'd go and see, pass by at a gas station. Anybody other than Joe who has no clue what's going on. He's a puppet. There's people behind the scenes that are not elected that are making and calling all the shots. So anybody but Joe is kind of my slogan. But that being said, the politically motivated comment by Kamala Harris is very interesting because this was indeed politically motivated. Her implication, of course, that Robert Hur, who is considered in this discussion as a quote Republican unquote, because he was appointed to the Maryland lead attorney position for the federal attorney for the District of Maryland by Donald Trump. But Donald Trump appointed a lot of people that were what I like to call sewer rats, basically different lawyers and operatives and political hangers-on that were Washington society members that had sparkling credentials. But anybody who wants to say Robert Herr is a Republican is out of their mind. Robert Herr was the chief assistant to Rod Rosenstein, who took over for Jeff Sessions in the Trump administration when Trump made a terrible decision and appointed Jeff Sessions to the attorney general position. He immediately recused himself on the Russia investigation because he was involved in the campaign. You remember all that. But Robert Herr, being now pointed at as a Republican, do you really believe, folks, that Merrick Garland would have appointed Robert Herr, a quote Republican unquote, to be the special counsel to investigate Joe Biden's handling of classified and top secret documents? Not in a gazillion years. There's no way that appointment would have been made, because you're not going to put a political rival in charge of the president's investigation that you're trying everything possible and surrounding him with every body possible to shelter the fact that this guy is just an empty shell at this point. And, you know, for them to say he's vigorous, he's involved, he's doing all these great things, he's got all these great policies, he has been a fabulous president, you know, they're using a tactic there where they're telling you your eyes and your ears every time he says something ridiculous, and he doesn't go through a single speech where he doesn't make something up. And I don't think he's necessarily a liar. I think his mind is so far gone that he thinks he's had all these experiences and he relates them, but they're not accurate. They're not factually, they don't hold up to the smell test. And the Washington Post and the New York Times, even extreme left-wing publications, have begun questioning him. Most recently, over the weekend, he said in a speech at the White House, he was hosting some veterans or some kind of group, I can't remember who it was, but he said he was talking about China and President Xi, and he said, as vice president, I spent days with President Xi flying to every corner of this country, trying to acclimate him on the American way and the greatness of America, blah, blah, blah. Well, anybody will tell you that President Xi has no positive opinion of America. America is, in Xi's mind, the great salvation project, and to keep his country viable, they feel it's critically important to infiltrate this country and steal as much of our intellectual property as possible. There's a lot, that's a whole separate episode to talk about the problems that China has. And yes, China has major problems right now that this media does not acquaint you with, because they're trying to paint the picture that China is like the ideal society, when you and I and everybody that's got a functioning brain knows that that couldn't be further from the truth. But the politically motivated, let's get back to that. It was politically motivated because people in the Democrat Party now are panicking. Joe Biden's polls are so bad on so many issues, and they also, the polling on voters, there have been tremendous, I mean, massive losses in terms of the support from groups that they always seem to get in the Democrat column. And that includes young voters, where he's underwater. That's why over the weekend he comes up with, we're going to go ahead and, even though the Supreme Court says I don't have the authority, we're going to go ahead and impose these major forgiveness things of student loans, which he doesn't have the authority to do. And it doesn't forgive them. Those loans are still have to be paid back. But now you and me and every taxpayer is on the hook for some guy who's now a celebrity, you know, doctor to the stars in Hollywood, who financed his $300,000 Stanford or Yale or Harvard education through student loans. Now, he's not responsible for those. It's people that didn't go to college, people that went to work, that entered a trade, or just have a regular job like you or I, or people that have gone and paid off their own student loans. Now they're on the hook to pay off these peoples that Joe Biden is trying to curry votes from. It's really stinks to high heaven. So the politically motivated part is this was a contingency. I'm absolutely convinced of this. It was put in that report on purpose for two reasons. One, Joe Biden's hideous behavior in that situation of having these documents. There's only one person that's allowed to possess top secret and classified documents, and that is the President of the United States. When a document is created and it's classified top secret, the president gets a copy of that that document, and that's it. Any other access has to be read in a secure location called a SCIF. And this includes senators and the vice president, who doesn't have any special privileges. You have to go and read those documents in a controlled room. You can't bring your phone to take pictures of them. You can scribble some notes if you want, but that's the only place that a senator or a congressman or the vice president can go and read, or anybody with enough security clearance can go and read a classified document. You are not, as former vice president and former senator, allowed to possess any of those documents. When Biden was a senator going all the way back to the late 70s and into the 80s and into the 90s, the 30-something year, six-term career that he had as a senator, Joe Biden is not allowed to have any classified documents. The only way he can obtain those is to steal them or have someone else steal them. They are not his property. He's not allowed to have them. It's like going to a jewelry store. Let me give you a good analogy here. It's like going to a jewelry store and looking at things, and you ask the clerk, "Can I see that ring there?" And she hands you the ring, and they give you the little eyepiece, and you look at the diamonds and the quality and the sparkle, and they tell you what kind of cut it is and all that stuff. And it would be the equivalent of looking at that in the controlled environment of the jewelry store. You have to hand that back to them because you can't possess that unless you, and you can't do this. This is the difference in the documents. You can't buy those unless you pay off somebody to allow you to slip them in your pants or into your sock and walk out with them. But obviously, that's what happened here, because Joe Biden can't possibly have these documents if he did not personally steal them or had somebody else that had access to them steal them. But for him to have boxes and boxes of documents, top secret marked, classified qualification, in his garage at his home, not even secured, where his son Hunter and his brother James had access to them by simply walking out in the garage and grabbing a handful on whatever they wanted to educate themselves for to promote their business, the Biden family business, which, by the way, doesn't sell any products, doesn't provide any services, doesn't have any particular expertise in anything except their relationship to Joe Biden. So for them to have classified documents at their fingertips and learn all of the secrets that our government thinks are so important to conceal, that's probably a pretty good extra bonus if you're in the influence business. So that just kind of gives you an idea. But those documents, not allowed to have them. So I think the politically motivated thing was they had to come up with an excuse where this heinous crime that anybody else, if you or I had a classified document, we'd be under the jail right now. So they had to come up with some kind of excuse, just like Jim Comey did years ago when Hillary was running for president, when she had an unauthorized server and was running all the classified information through that outside of the purview of the federal government and exposing for an easy hack all kinds of top secrets and classified information on her home computing system. When that evidence was asked to be seized by the Justice Department, she had people systematically destroy all those computers, smash all of those disks, get rid of all of the emails, some 30,000 emails that were on that system, basically made it all disappear. Took cell phones, smashed them with a hammer, used bleach to clean the hard drives of her computers. And so that cover-up of subpoenaed equipment and destruction of it was written off by James Comey. He said, well, you know, she didn't really know that that was improper behavior. That was the excuse to get her off the hook. Biden's excuse was, well, you know, he doesn't have a good enough memory. He's kind of a dawdling old man. He'd be a sympathetic figure. He doesn't really have the faculties to be able to be a defendant in this kind of case. Well, that's a pretty startling conclusion, Mr. Herr, because if he doesn't have the faculties to be a defendant, but he does have the faculties to carry around the nuclear football and push one button and put in an authorization code and create a nuclear war, I'm so glad that that he has that capacity to be the leader of the free world, the commander in chief. If he can't stand trial for a heinous crime because he doesn't have the mental capacity, I think that probably indicates he doesn't have the mental capacity to be the president. So that inclusion to get him off the hook, because they don't want him to go anywhere, because the people behind the scenes are controlling this country, people, by the way, that you did not vote for, and I keep emphasizing that. But Joe Biden, the mental incapacitation inclusion, the second reason her included that was because he was directed to, because they're already getting an insurance policy ready where the next time Joe Biden takes a fall going into Air Force One, even though he's going up the tiny baby steps in the back of the plane now, because there's only like five or six steps, last week completely lost his balance and came within inches of falling flat on his face. On the White House lawn, going to Marine One, leaning on 83-year-old Nancy Pelosi for support while they walked 100 yards to the plane that took like almost a minute to go that distance. This guy is feeble. This guy is losing it. And your eyes and your ears are not incorrect telling you that's what's happening, because that's exactly what's happening. He's in really bad shape, folks. So the politically motivated part, congratulations, Kamala, you're right. It was politically motivated, but it was motivated by the same people that are thinking about how great it would be if they could get Gavin Newsom or Michelle Obama or somebody else that still has their faculties, albeit faculties that have not been blaring successes. But there is a plot against the emperor there. Because as Joe Biden continues to show his decline and the polls continue to plummet, they can't run him for president this year because he's not going to win. So that's an interesting aspect. Of course, another one of the lines, and I've used almost all my time on my first one, so I'm going to go real fast through these other ones, that at the end of the day, people dismiss what I just said, that they're already plotting against him and trying to think of ways to get him removed, because Biden has beaten Trump before. So, and, you know, Biden has shown he can beat Donald Trump, but that was a little bit different circumstance 4 years ago. Joe Biden stayed in his basement because he already was not able to really get out there and convey a message. He was making gaffes. At least he was still somewhat communicative at that time. He didn't say things like, yeah, President Xi and I, and this is, I left this out. President Xi and I, over a few days, flew 17,000 miles on every corner of this country while I spent a lot of time with him. People immediately fact-checked that and said, we can't find a single place, a single flight, a single trip that President Xi took with Joe Biden anywhere. So again, this delusion is probably in his mind. He probably really believes that he did these things. But it's pretty apparent that he just makes stuff up or creates things that didn't happen. This guy being the president is terrifying, folks, because he is just gone. And anybody who doesn't believe their own eyes and ears are just kidding themselves. But now they say, well, that can't be right because everybody knows that Biden already beat Trump. Well, at that time, Biden didn't campaign, didn't really express any ideas. He just laid low because Trump had reached the point where so many people were fed up that because of his style and his arrogance and his bullishness, all the things that Trump is criticized for, they ignored the fact that for 3 years, this country was going on high gear. The economy was great. Our place in the world was secure. He had really gone and made America an energy independent entity for the first time ever. The Trump administration was a resounding success until the very well-timed COVID situation took place in an election year, which threw everything into an absolute frenzy and really set the stage for all of the emergency election new areas that were called into play and led to this Biden win over Trump. You know, that all that being said, because Trump got 12 million more votes the second time than he did the first. But then, of course, Joe Biden got the most votes ever by a presidential candidate. All of a sudden, 35 or 40 million people voted that did not vote in 2016. Baloney. Anyway, but that's not the point. The point is now we've seen Joe Biden in the White House. And what do we have? I mean, we talked about him being too old, but we've got a terrible economy that they'll tell you with looking straight into the camera that the economy is doing great. Are you doing great? Do you like going to, get a couple of hamburgers and fries and it being for a family of four, like $40? Or $45, are you fine to go to the grocery store? And everything has almost doubled in price during this administration. Gas prices reached an all-time high. Inflation is just going crazy. Our secure world that was on the verge of peace agreements in the Middle East with the Israelis and a lot of the other countries have completely gone to you-know-what. It's an unsafe world. It's an unsecure world. Two wars have broken out because people see the feeble leadership that we have in the White House, and they are taking advantage of us, folks. They are capitalizing on that and doing things that they know will go unchecked. Our own border, Governor Abbott put up a bunch of razor wire at a major entry point and posted Texas National Guard troops and basically threw out the federal agents that were there doing that job. And it's a great example of what's happened in the foreign situation. Joe Biden ordered him to allow those agents back in there and take down that razor wire. And Greg Abbott said, no, I'm not going to do that. We're securing our own border. We're able to do that. Biden made a bunch of noise for a couple of days because they told him to say that and threaten Abbott. And guess what? Biden blinked. Abbott won. They didn't take any action against Texas. And here a month later, that's still the case. It's the same thing in foreign situations where he and Barack Obama are consistent on one thing. They draw the red line and make demands. But when it comes time to follow up on what they've declared, it doesn't happen. They're still undefeated on backing down when they've drawn the red line. And Governor Abbott is a good example right here at home of how foreign relations are handled under this administration. So the bottom line is, yes, Biden beat Trump before. Well, Biden was declared the winner. There's a lot more. Again, I've got three or four future shows and just talking about these things. But in this situation now, everybody has seen the Biden White House. Everybody has seen how the country now has admitted up to 10 million people. 10 million. It's the greatest invasion in the history of mankind in our country. Where are these people? What are they doing? And the final point today, speaking of those people, the murder of Lakin Riley, a Georgia nursing student, last week by an illegal migrant in this country from Venezuela who had already been arrested in New York after he crossed the border. We put him on an airplane, flew him to New York, and he got into an assault charge. A child was injured. I don't know all the circumstances, but he was arrested and immediately turned loose with no bail. He went down to Georgia, and last week, a young 22-year-old nursing student out for a run was found dead in a field near the campus of blunt force trauma. This guy attacked her, obviously hit her with something enough force to kill her. This guy is not even supposed to be in this country, and now this young lady's dead. There were two runners last year killed by illegal migrants, unauthorized people in this country. Crime is a problem everywhere, but when crimes are committed by people that have no business having any footing in this country, it is an absolute heinous situation. And the police, in their press conference on the details, said this was not a situation where he knew the victim. This was a situation that was a crime of opportunity. Well, the opportunity, yes, unfortunately, he had an encounter with this young lady and the worst happened. But the opportunity was the opportunity for this guy who has a violent past in Venezuela, in New York, to walk into this country, to be treated like some kind of visiting dignitary, put on an airplane, sent up, housed, fed, medical needs taken care of. For this guy, the opportunity was to come to this country because they're being recruited by this government and this president, and the opportunity to be here completely against the system that's constitutionally mandated, and the opportunity to happen to be in Athens, Georgia last week and kill young Ms. Riley, that was the opportunity, and that's an opportunity that's absolutely hideous and heinous. And anybody listening to this that's thinking about voting for Joe Biden, just remember Laken Riley and Molly Tibbetts, the two names I can think of right now, young ladies who don't have their lives anymore because of the policies of this worst excuse for a president who I'd let him off the hook because he's not making the decisions. Others are. He is just a puppet. And you voting for that is you voting for the destruction of your country. And I'm not saying that because I'm a huge Trump supporter or Republican. I'm an American, and I see what's happening, and I see these people conspiring to take your and mine country down, and it's got to stop. It must be stopped, and your vote is what's going to do that. I'm Kip Kiefer. That's what you needed to know this week. Join Tony Curry and I for another edition of Kiefer and Curry this week. And, of course, ABC 3340 in Birmingham and throughout most of Alabama. You can catch us on Saturday mornings, 10:30 a.m. for the starting lineup. You never know who's going to be in the starting lineup, so don't miss that opportunity. Have a great week, everybody. Take good care. God bless you. Kip Kiefer signing off for another week of Need to Know.
This has been a special presentation of Tony Curry Radio.